Back here, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game on the Game Nashville app. Chase McKay, Willie Donick here with you, Darren, with the day off. Let's say hello to Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com. He's on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Terry, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Oh, you know what? We're feeling good. It's a Friday. But how are the Titans doing? We've played this game every week. Let's look at the injury report and see what it looks like. And obviously, we know what the last 4 weeks have looked like for this team, going through what I've called a murderer's row of a schedule and going 4-0. And now they have the depleted Saints that have questions at quarterback after Jameis Winston's injury. Alvin Kamara's on the injury report, but you know there's some key names, and the defense has been carrying the water for this club. And you got guys like Dupree, who's limited, which I think is a normal thing, but Landry, David Long haven't practiced the last 2 days. So how concerned are you with that?
Yeah, I think some of that is due to the fact that yesterday they practiced inside the bubble. So probably some of those guys who had a little bit of a tenderness and an injury, they didn't want to aggravate that by having them do anything on an artificial surface. Some of it, obviously, you know, as they go into practice today, Long and Landry, some of those guys will be guys that, you know, we'll be keeping an eye on to see if they're able to do anything, because usually Friday's the telltale day. If a guy can't give you anything by Friday, chances are he's not going to be able to give you much on Sunday, if anything at all. So there are some injury concerns with this team, but, you know, the one thing you can say about them is that they've been incredibly resilient through all these injuries. Nobody thought they could win without Derrick Henry. Nobody thought that, you know, they could win, you know, that the defense would get better once they lost Christian Fulton. But those things have happened. And, you know, I can't explain it, but it certainly, you know, is a credit to Mike Vrabel and the coaching staff to be able to squeeze the maximum out of what they've been able to use.
Well, and the key to me has been, you know, when Derrick Henry went down, you know, no matter what happens at running back, this running back by committee, what have you, they were going to need A.J. Brown to be A.J. Brown, and really they were going to need to get something out of Julio Jones. And, you know, on Wednesday, Julio was full participant, everything. He wasn't even on the injury report. And then yesterday he's listed as limited. I mean, it just feels like he hasn't been able to shake, you know, some of the things that have been plaguing him. And so we'll see what his status is once again. But, Terry, they need Julio. They need to get more than, you know, 50% out of Julio Jones.
No, you're absolutely right. They've got to get him, you know, healthy and have the ability to play more than one game at a time. You know, I mean, he needs to be able to give them a stretch of where he can play 5-6 games in a row, which he's not really been able to do this year. And I wonder, and maybe it's a question I'll throw at Vrabel today, if Julio's not out there and practicing fully, you know, maybe they would be better off just to put him on injured reserve, shut him down for 3 weeks, not let him do anything other than rehab, and then roll him out there again in December when it gets down to crunch time, because I think we all agree that they've got a stranglehold on the AFC South. I don't think there's really much chance of them losing this division lead. Now, granted, it would be nice to have Julio to use, you know, in the interim to try and secure that number one playoff seed. But the truth of the matter is, if they're going to go anywhere in the playoffs, whether it's as a one seed or as a four seed, they're going to need a healthy Julio Jones to be part of it.
I think that's a great question, Terry, that Mike's not going to answer, but I hope you ask it anyway.
I might.
Good luck with that, Terry. We'll be listening along for sure.
He's such an open book when it comes
to injury.
Yeah, by the way, he took a shot at you the other day and you weren't even there. And I was like, come on, man. Like, at least
wow,
say it to the man.
Say?
Well, Teresa asked your question, I guess, and it was trying to, like, word it correctly. And he basically goes, yeah, you sound just like Terry. That's perfect. It was good.
Oh, gosh.
Terry McCormick is with us. We're talking Titans as they get ready for the Saints. So, Terry, my theme of the week, a lot. I'm still trying to get my mindset together, because when I think Saints, I'm always thinking creative offense, Sean Payton, Drew Brees, but their defense is really their calling card right now. This will be a tough challenge for the Titans offense.
Yeah, it will. I mean, this is going to be a tough front seven to try and, run on. I think that that's been the bread and butter of the Saints this year. And you're exactly right. You know, their offense has been very pedestrian at times, and that was even before Jameis Winston got hurt. Now with Trevor Siemian running the show, you know, it's even less explosive. So defensively, I think, is where the Saints are having to hang their hat right now. Now, the one area with the Saints where they've had some problems this year has been a little bit in the secondary. So if the Titans want to throw the football and try to see if they can get A.J. Brown or Julio Jones, if he's available, loose for some big plays, that might be where you try it, provided that the offensive line can hold up against the Saints' pass rush. But the Saints have really been good in that front seven, especially against the run.
Speaking of the run, as now they continue to evaluate the running backs they have available, what's your best guess on what they learned after 1 week, how we might see it change or not change in terms of how they use sort of the three-headed monster here with Freeman, McNichols, and Peterson?
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, kind of the way that they went about it Sunday night against the Rams. Obviously, McNichols is going to get the bulk of the reps whenever it's a passing situation, as he was already the third down back, even when Derrick Henry was there. So they're going to add a little bit to his workload. I don't know, ideally, if he has the size and the strength and the durability to be able to run a lot between the tackles. To me, that's, he's just not big enough, especially compared to when you put Derrick Henry out there running between the tackles. Adrian Peterson, you know, they were mentioned on the Sunday night broadcast that he was running high, and I think that's probably something that he's going to try to work on this week and try to fix as he watches the film of his play. But, you know, for the first time of a guy carrying the ball in 10 months, I guess he did okay. I think he's going to have to continue to step it up. The one thing that kind of was interesting there was that when in the second half, when they were essentially in the four-minute offense trying to run the clock out and knowing that they had the win pretty much in hand, the guy that they trusted the most not to turn it over, even though he was brand new to them, was Adrian Peterson. It's like, here, just hang on to the football, milk the clock, and then, of course, they got a touchdown out of that drive eventually with Peterson going in from a yard out. So it's interesting that, the trust factor was there from the get-go with Peterson, even though he was brand new to them because of all that he's accomplished in the league. Now, the Foreman kid, I really like him. I thought he looked the best of the three in terms of just running the football and finding daylight through the line. You know, to me, I would try to give him a few more carries here and there. The big question that I would have probably with him is how good is he in pass protection? Because there was one time where it looked like he completely whiffed on a block that and allowed Ryan Tannehill to either get sacked or have to throw the ball away. I forget which result happened, but I just remember him missing the block completely in pass protection. So that's an area where he's probably going to have to pick up the nuances of what they're looking for there. And that'll happen, you know, probably as he gets more familiar with their system and what goes on with the playbook.
Yeah, you just made a really good point. Well, a couple of really good points. But you're talking about Jeremy McNichols. I believe that they don't want to change his role. They want to keep him in that role. It's not that they want to prevent him from having, you know, more carries or anything like that. But knowing that he's available in those passing situations, I think it is important to them. And so, therefore, it's important for Foreman and Peterson to take care of the other part of it, whether one of them grabs the job or not.
Yeah, I would completely agree with that. I think, you know, that Foreman and Peterson are probably fighting for the bulk of the first and second down carries, and McNichols, ideally, would be your third down, or, you know, and then play some on second downs if it's like second and 12 and it's an obvious pass situation.
Who in your mind, and I know this is kind of a weird question to ask because Josh Reynolds didn't really do much for this team, but they're still trying to find that third wide receiver, or in some cases the second wide receiver if Julio Jones is not available, and nobody has really run up and grabbed that role as of yet. Reynolds isn't on the team anymore. So in your mind, kind of where does that go?
That's a good question. I mean, you know, if Julio is unable to go this weekend, they're probably going to have to make a roster move, because I believe with Reynolds' exit, they're down to five receivers on the 53-man roster.
Correct.
And and Dez Fitzpatrick and Mason Kinsey are on the practice squad. Ideally, Chester Rogers had that spot early on. He made some plays. Marcus Johnson has been a guy that's been able to give them some stuff occasionally. But, yeah, you're right. You know, those guys have kind of leveled off to kind of what we thought they were. And the Titans really could use one of those guys to step up and be a consistent third receiver. I don't know. I mean, Johnson appears to be getting the bulk of the opportunities here lately because Rogers was banged up a little bit. But I think both of those guys are going to have to play a role for this team going forward, especially with Julio Jones in limbo again.
You mentioned Dez Fitzpatrick, and Vrabel has brought him up a couple of times. He's been on the practice squad after not making the team. Have you seen any progress from him? Is that a possibility that maybe he is going to be in the fold here soon?
It's possible. I mean, because they don't have a whole lot of options elsewhere at their disposal. And, you know, if he's been improving and they're pleased with what they see, because, you know, that quite honestly, they don't let us see enough of practice anymore to be able to evaluate somebody to tell you whether he's looking good on the practice field or not. You know, we see 10 minutes of him catching passes in individual, and then we see stretch, and that's about it. We don't get to see how he's doing against the defensive back in a, you know, in a third down situation when they're doing the install and things like that. But, you just kind of have to take Vrabel's word for it that if Dez Fitzpatrick, who was really in the doghouse during training camp with all the drops and, you know, his lack of ability on special teams, if he's making those changes and making those, I feel like that they're probably close to at least, if not promoting him outright to the 53-man roster, at least bringing him up as a practice squad addition for this week to kind of give him a one-week trial.
Well, I'd still like to believe that behind the scenes you can develop and get better, and so hopefully that's the case with Fitzpatrick because he was written off very, very early, and so I think that would show some character if he can get through it and get into the plans down the road. So, Terry, let's get to another theme that we have every week, it seems like, and that's roll call in the secondary. They've done a tremendous job piecing it together, largely because the front four is playing so well. But what about Christian Fulton? Do you think he has a chance to play this week?
It's possible, but when they added Chris Jones to the active roster, that probably signaled that he might be another week away. I think, you know, the big thing to watch will be if he's a full participant again this week. They might feel inclined to add him. But, with the promotion of Chris Jones to the active roster, that told me that maybe Fulton is another week away. But certainly, you know, they could use him. He would be a welcome return if they can get him back and going from that hamstring injury.
One more for you, Terry, because I don't think it can be stated enough. But just now that Brett Kern, you can tell he's back, kind of looking himself again, him pinning the offense last week on Sunday night set up huge plays by the defense, and that's what Brett Kern has done in his career. It's why he's an all-pro punter. And how important is it to have that down the stretch as another weapon available to you?
Oh, I think it's incredibly important. I mean, because if you look at the difference in the punt cover team since Brett Kern has been back, and no disrespect to the guy that filled in and handled the punting while he was gone. Brett Kern is just a difference maker at the position. It's not very often you can say that a punter is a difference maker, but Brett Kern definitely is one just because he is so good at a variety of different punts. He's got that knuckleball. He's got the coffin corner punt. If you need an end over end punt, he can give you that. If you need one that's got, 5 second hang time, he can give you that. He's just a weapon, and the Titans are very fortunate to have a guy who has as many tricks in his bag as Brett Kern does.
Well, Terry, going to be an interesting one on Sunday. We're a lot of momentum right now for the Titans as they are currently the number one seed in the AFC. We'll see what Vrabel says later on today, but appreciate the time as always, and good to talk to you.
All right, you guys have a good one.
You too. Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com, joining us here on the show. He's covered the team for a very, very long time. The Titans are going to be back on the practice field. You'll hear from Mike Vrabel around 12:30, somewhere in that range, as we'll try and get a better idea of who's in and out of the lineup as the Titans will be back home finally to take on the New Orleans Saints. A couple of news and notes around the NFL that we will get to, because I know, Willie, you didn't really get a chance to weigh in on OBJ and his new home, and also Cam Newton returning to the Panthers. We'll do that and continue to talk Titans. You can weigh in at 615-737-1025 as you listen to Darren Donick and Chase on ESPN 102.5 The Game.